Well, good morning. We'll be looking in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. We're going to be looking at a parable. We know it as the parable of the prodigal son. Now, actually, the whole chapter is one parable, and the prodigal son is just one layer of the parable. And you might, has anyone ever lost their keys? Anyone ever lost their glasses? You know, and it's such a great thing when we finally find it, what we're looking for. It's great. Well, we'll be looking at lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost boy, a father who's lost, and then finally we see a lost world. And so Jesus is he starts off by talking about a lost sheep. He says there's a shepherd that has 100 sheep, and one of them is lost. One of them just goes astray. And the word for lost, every time you see the word lost in Luke chapter 15, it means to destroy, to render useless, to be dead, or to simply lose. And so there's all these different definitions for that word. And you have to kind of read the whole chapter to see, or the sentence to see what meaning belongs here. And he loses one of his sheep, and he leaves the 99 with the other shepherds, and he goes to find the one. And he doesn't come back until he finds the one. And when he finds it, it says he rejoices. He puts the sheep on his shoulders. He comes back to his friends. He says, "Rejoice with me." And that word rejoice is exceedingly joyful. And he's like, yay! So let's hear a yay. 1, 2, 3.
Yay!
Well, you guys haven't lost anything before. Anyhow, so he finds his sheep. He's woohoo! Praise the Lord, he found his sheep. It was lost. It was useless. It was dead. It was literally destroyed to him until he found it. And he's excited. And then he kind of shifts gears and he says, there's a gal who loses one coin out of 10, a silver coin. And she actually lights a lantern and she sweeps underneath her bed. And she cleans her whole house finding one coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices exceedingly. She says, yay. And all God's people said,
yay.
Great job. I'm thinking about putting coins in my daughter's room to see if they're going to sweep and clean out and find that coin. He says, you know, honestly, he says, the angels in heaven rejoice when only one sinner repents. When one sinner repents, it's more so than this exceeding joy. So when you guys said, yay, imagine a million times more heaven rejoices when one person repents. When one person comes home, and now he's going to go ahead and really open up the story. When we kind of get a concept of what joy is, I found my sheep, yee-hoo! I found my coin, yay! We're going to see a father find his son. We're going to see someone that was lost, dead, someone that was rendered useless, who's finally found. What joy it would be when one sinner repents. And so he talks about the lost way. And he says there's a man who has two sons. And the youngest son says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. And it's kind of backwards. Son, you should be waiting until after I've deceased. But he wants his money now. Dad, I've got living to do, life to live. And it's not here and it's not with you. I'm out of here. And oddly enough, the father goes ahead and divides his inheritance and gives the portion to his son, and his son leaves. Now, the shepherd looked for his sheep. The woman looked for her coin, but this dad lets the child go. And I've asked myself, what was he doing? I mean, I know with my girls, sometimes they'll want to do something. I'll say, you know, I know that sounds good to you, but that's not a good decision. Or when we're walking in the store and we walk past the toy aisle and you see their heads turning, they're starting to go, and I turn their heads back this way. Now, where can they go get coffee? We're not going to play with toys. Or we're going to go get whatever. And I have to sometimes navigate my kids. But as they get older, I have to learn to let go. I have to learn to let them make a mistake, and I have to let them suffer the consequences and walk with them. And this dad doesn't do a very good job of it. I've got young kids, and I've got a senior in high school, and I've got a Marine. And you know what? I'm slowly learning how to let go and let them make their mistakes and go through those consequences. But as a father, this father let him go. It says that the boy went out and he spent all of his money. It says a reckless life or a wild life. Or this is where we get the name prodigal life. Has anyone ever looked the definition of prodigal up? It's interesting. Prodigal means wasteful and reckless, but it also means extravagant, lavish, and abundant. And so this boy was spending his money. Well, it wasn't even his money. It was his dad's money. Everything that he thought he was buying, he bought off of the work that his dad did. Well, he spent all of his money, and he found himself broke, and he found himself broken, and he found himself alone. Proverbs 19 says, wealth makes many friends, but poverty drives them all away. Has anyone ever had lots of friends during payday? And then by the time payday's over, you're kind of looking around and you don't... Trinity, you haven't had a payday yet. But one day you will. And we'll pray that you won't be here. But I remember days when I was living for the weekend, when Friday night would come, I would have a paycheck. When Monday morning would come, I wouldn't have one. And I wouldn't have anyone around. And it was days like that that drove me to the Lord. You see, the story of the prodigal son's about me. It says that he spent all of his money, and then finally he came to his senses. Or he came to himself. He finally thought, if I just go back home. I think of Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar was high and mighty, he was warned, hey, don't get too arrogant because the Lord is going to chop you down, man. And Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind for, do you remember how many years?
7.
Good. 7 years he lost his mind. He was completely insane. It says that he was outside eating grass like an ox. That kind of like this weather, the dew made his hair like feathers, his fingers became all gnarled, kind of like bird claws. But then it says that he gazed to heaven and his understanding returned. On a side note today, guys, any restoration will always begin with prayer. It always does. I'm always trying to fix things, but can I tell you something? Before you use your hands, you should use your knees and pray to the Lord. And the understanding returned back to Nebuchadnezzar. And this guy, his understanding came, and he said, if I can just go home. He was broke. He was broken. It said that he actually started working for a guy and was feeding pigs. I've never been a pig farmer or anything, but it said that he was so hungry that even the pig food looked good to eat. He didn't eat it, praise the Lord, but it sure looked like it. Uh-oh, we've talked too much about the gospel. One of these days. But here's the deal. That boy said, if I can just get home. How come the longest road always seems to be the road back home? How come when we know that we've done something wrong, if we can go back home, that road seems so long, so far away, I can't go back. Dad's going to be embarrassed and shamed. I can't go back because my older brother's going to say, I told you so. But he did. He came to his senses, he turned around, he started back home, but what he thought was the longest road to go back home, guess what? Dad had already set a watch. Dad was looking, and Dad was waiting. And the word says that at a long distance off, Dad recognized a silhouette. Dad recognized a stride, and he said, that's my boy. That's my son. And that father ran to his son. And the son was trying to be, Dad, I don't deserve to be your son. If I could just be a servant, that's enough. That's all I need is to be a servant. Something fell. Is that what's going on? What is it? Okay, let's stop and let's pray for whoever's out in the ocean. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus for help. We just prayed earlier that you are a strong tower for those who trust you. And so we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that whatever's going on, that you would spare their life and that you would be strong on their behalf, that you would rescue and redeem, just as we're talking about this son who needs to be rescued and redeemed. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the father runs to the son. He set a watch and looked for his son. And do you remember what he says? The word says that he ran to his son and he fell on his neck and he began to kiss him. Crying, holding. And the son says, "Dad, I don't deserve this." And the dad turns to his own servant and says, "Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on him." And everything this guy had lost in life, he gained more coming home. Everything he was looking for in the world, wealth, he was looking for identity, he was looking for freedom, he lost all of that. That wasn't found out there. But what he did find is that at home, he found identity with that signet ring. "You're my son. I'm not ashamed of you. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Come home." Wealth, he put the best robe on him. Honor, he elevated the young man with shoes. Have you ever walked around out in the cold with no socks or shoes on? The other day I was just over at Lake El Estero and we were passing out food and I was going down the line talking to people and this guy looks at me and says, "I have a pair of shoes." And I thought, wow, the joy he had because he had shoes. And then I said, "Do you want me to get some socks?" And in the other hand, he pulls out a brand new pair of socks and said, "I have socks." And I said, "That is gold." And the guy in front turned to me and said, "You're telling me?" And I didn't know what to say because I have socks and I have shoes. He was a young man returning home who had none of those things. And finally, he found his way home. A father finally found his son. There was a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost boy. And now we have a lost father who finally found his son. But it doesn't end there. There's still another lost boy. You guys might be able to relate to this, maybe not. You see, there was a party going on to celebrate the return of the son. Everyone's like, "Woohoo! He's alive! He made it home!" I mean, can you imagine what that family's going to say when he comes home? If he makes it, they're going to be, "Yeah, praise the Lord." The older brother was outside. "I'm not going in. I'm not going in. That guy wasted dad's money. That guy does not deserve to be here. No." And so the father goes in and says, "Son." The father goes out and says, "Son." The father makes his way all the way out to his son and says, "Son, your brother was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. It's good. It's right for us to celebrate. Come in." And oddly enough, the story ends there. We have no idea if the older brother comes in. Do you know why it ends that way? Because the beginning is Jesus is talking to people, homeless, sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, and the Pharisees said, "Hey, what are you doing joining yourself with those guys? They don't deserve this." And they, like the older brother, lost their way. And Jesus pointed to them and said, "Be careful. Be careful how you dish out grace. Be careful." Because you know what? The older brother was in just as much need, was just as lost as the younger brother. He was caught up in unforgiveness. I want to just leave you with two stories. I told you one a couple of weeks ago. And it goes like this. There's a guy named Paco. He's over in Spain. And Paco and his dad did not agree. Paco and his dad came to a place where He was kicked out of his house. He too was homeless. The father did not know how to handle his son. And finally, the father said, I must reach my son. So he puts an ad in the newspaper. Very similar to another story I told you. And he says, Paco, all is forgiven. Meet me at the Hotel Plaza at noon on Friday at such and such date. This father goes there and he finds over 500 young men named Pacos looking to be reconciled with their dads. We laugh because it's a funny story. It's a true story. But how many people are there out there looking to be reconciled, wanting to be found, wanting to come back home? No shoes, no clothes, no food, wanting to come home. The second story is about Annie. See, Annie was 16 years old one day, and she was laying on the couch. She had worked all day with her dad, and Annie's brother was always, as younger brothers can be, giving her a hard time. He says, Annie, Mom wants you. And Annie says, no, she doesn't, and she rolls back over and falls asleep. That night, her mom has a stroke and dies. After everything's said and done, 2 weeks later, her father and her brother are there, and Annie's brother says, Dad, I told Annie that Mom wanted her and she didn't come. And Dad snapped and said, Annie, it's your fault. And right there at 16 years old, she carried guilt, she carried shame, and she carried it through her young adult life. And it wasn't until she was going over these four words, ready? Only if. Has anyone ever said only if? Only if I would have done things differently. Only if I would have gotten up. The second, what if? What if I had listened? What if I had done things differently? And those four words ate at her over and over and over. It wasn't until she heard three words that changed her radically. Ready? It is finished. When someone introduced her to the gospel that Jesus died for her sins, and just as the young boy who went off on his own had sinned against his father, just as the older boy lived in unforgiveness, Annie experienced forgiveness. This message today about the prodigal son is both about the younger brother and the older brother, because each one of us uses those words, what if and only if. And some of us can be like the prodigal. But truly, if I look at the definition of prodigal, it was the father who was extravagant. It was a father who was abundant in love. It was a father who lavished both of his sons. And so today we're gonna end with, don't be the older brother. Don't be the younger brother. Stay close to the father. The father's words to his son was, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. If you know Christ as your Savior, all that He has is yours. Live in it. That young man found more when he returned than what he ever had lost. That older brother, forgiveness is right there for the asking. And it's there for you and for me. Now, as we go on talking and barbecuing and eating this summer, share that story. Not the story of Annie, nor the story of Paco, but the story of Jesus. How Jesus reached out and shared, hey, the world is lost and the world needs a Savior. Far more than just finding a sheep or finding a coin, but of a father who would find a son or maybe a daughter, finally can come home. Hey, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. Isn't that great?